Praised amen. Gloire à Dieu. Gloria a Dios. Doxa ton Kyrion. Slava Pano. Slava Bogo. And God will take care of the rest of the languages up there. Praise God. Amen. It's so good to be with you today at Apostolic Faith Church. We appreciate your pastor and his lovely wife. We appreciate this congregation for your stand for truth and righteousness. Praise God. And we thank you that you've been a support of the mission endeavor around the world. And for many years, you supported the Demas family in Germany. And we're not here to give you a missionary report. I will say, however, that after 41 years of mission experience in Europe, we resigned 15 months ago, and the works that we have established are still going on. Praise God. Amen. In fact, we have sons and daughters in the gospel literally worldwide, many different countries, and grandchildren. I knew that we had a couple of our Filipino brethren who were in the Philippines pastoring there, and that at least one of our ladies who had gone to Bible school with our support was a pastor's wife. But when I was at our church in Athens a year and a half ago before we left Europe for good, I learned through the folks there that are still there from our tenure and Facebook thereafter that we actually have four ladies in the Philippines who are pastoring churches that are a result of our ministry in Athens, Greece. So to God be the glory. Praise God. Amen. Sister Demas will not be the mountain climber today, but she'd be happy to speak to you at the back in the foyer area. She has a couple books that she's written about early Pentecostal history in Wisconsin. She's actually the co-editor, co-author and the editor. And this really has to do with her coming to the Lord as well. And then she's got some photographic cards that are blank on the inside. So if you need a card for Mother's Day or Father's Day or birthday or pastor and pastor's wife anniversary on May 11th, you can buy one and plan ahead. Amen. They're cheaper by the dozen. And Sister Valerie will be in the foyer to help you do that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read this morning from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And the author here says, therefore, and when it's there, there's a reason why it's therefore. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, attention, achtun, s'il vous plaît, to the things which we have heard. That's what Pastor said about Wednesday night. We need you to come because I want to bring some things to your attention for your edification, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. God's a righteous judge. Don't worry about him. I don't need to judge you or my grandmother or somebody else down the road. God's a just judge. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first, but not at the last, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. And I want to speak today from verse 3 about the subject, so great salvation. Can we pray for the word? Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this congregation. We thank you for this wonderful building. And we thank you for your presence, which we have felt already today throughout the service and prayer, in giving, and in worship. And now take these words and make them a blessing to the hearts and the ears of those that are here. And may we apply your word that we might be saved. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. We sometimes do not appreciate in America what we have. The freedom of religion is such a wonderful opportunity that we have, as has already been mentioned, and our nation was established on that. And in these times that try the souls of men, we must pray that freedom will be maintained through our governmental and judicial systems. Amen. You may not appreciate going from the former building to this tremendous sanctuary, that you have a building which is probably larger than any apostolic church throughout the entire continent of Europe. And we congratulate your pastor and you as a congregation for that achievement. But the Lord's will is that his house would be full. Praise God. There could have been more people on the day of Pentecost than just the 3,000 who heard the preaching of Peter. There could have been more than 500 who saw the risen Christ if they had only come to see him. Praise God. And so we thank God for what God is doing in North America. And that has been a background of support and a foundation for the work of God to go around the world. Amen. And there are still more countries to reach. But even in countries where we have a representation, there's more to do for God. And there are more cities, some great cities, amen, that have not yet been reached with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word great, which we read in verse 2, is an interesting word. It's used in the Bible 1,015 times. What does great mean? Well, I didn't look at the dictionary, but great means large. It's gross in German. Amen. And great can mean large. It can mean something is wonderful. Oh, that's a great event. I want to warn you that on May 18th, there's going to be a great choir that's coming here from Urshan College. And our daughter is not going to be a student. She did that before in Stockton. She's coming as director of the choral music for Urshan College. Amen. But she began as a 16-year-old with a group of Filipinos in Athens, Greece. Amen. And God has used her. So to the new parents of the new child that was dedicated today, amen, raise your children in the house of God and the ways of God. And someday you will see the benefits of what you have done by bringing those children to the house of God. And I give my wife the credit and God the glory. I was running the roads for Jesus while she took care of our three. Praise God. In fact, in 4 weeks, we're going to be in Madison, Wisconsin to dedicate our newest grandson to the Lord. Amen. Philip and his wife Fiona adopted a little baby. Amen. Through New Beginnings in Tupelo. And Josiah Alec is going to be dedicated in Madison in 4 weeks. In fact, the previous week, we're going to be there also, get to see him as well at the Every Conference sponsored by Calvary Gospel Church in Madison. Praise God. Great can mean something that is awe-inspiring. When you look at a mountain from the top of the mountain, it's great. When you look at the valley and the hidden flowers that grow only in the valley, that's great. Amen. When you go to your favorite German restaurant in downtown Milwaukee, they have great German food. Amen. But it's going to be better at a Greek restaurant. Amen. Which I haven't tried yet to see if that's true or not. Praise God. Amen. And yet, it's other time we can say, oh, the teacher postponed the test. And you say, oh, that's great. And then you walk into class another day, and they tell you, oh, we've got a quick test today. Oh, great. So great has different meanings. But we want to talk to you today about a really great salvation. Because it comes from a really great God. Amen. This great God is seen in the beginning. He doesn't start with all of his majesty. He just makes the majesty in his creation. Amen. He did such a good job on 6 days that he could rest on the seventh day. Praise God. This God is so humble that he just starts as El God. He doesn't start as the great God. He doesn't start as the mighty God, and for sure not the almighty God. He reveals himself little by little. As Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and that's going to be the way you meet this great God. You're not going to see all of his greatness at the beginning. You're not going to understand his ways at the beginning because they're too far away and above us. His thoughts are above ours. You see, we have intellectual professors and intellects in America and Europe, amen, who have all things figured out about science and evolution and creation and so forth. And God is probably up there laughing at them. Because they don't really know how he did it, much less why he did it. His greatness is beyond our understanding. Praise God. This great God declares himself as the only one true God. 50 times he describes himself as one. He never describes himself as two. He never describes himself as three. And for sure, he does not describe himself, like the Hindus say, as 300 million gods. We lived in Athens for many years. We saw temples built to many gods and goddesses. You had the big god Zeus. And then you have Athena, the goddess of wisdom. You have Apollo, the god of the sun and of light. You have Aegea, from which we get the word hygienic. And that was the goddess of health. And then you have Mercury, the messenger god. And then above old Corinth, you had a temple built to Aphrodite. And that was the goddess of love. And they had priestesses there. No charge, and those priestesses, who were also courtesans, had shaved heads. Just like the sisters of a certain religious tradition. And just like even some of the conservative Hebrews in Jerusalem, who then cover their head with a head covering. And Paul says, when you come into the church, you cover yourself. But the time comes when the hair is long, and the hair is not just for a covering, it's instead of a covering. Praise God. Amen. So this great God shows himself to us. He's not up there with the pantheon. He's not there with the temple to the unknown gods and the temple of Satan, which John wrote about in Pergamos. Guess where it is, Pastor Schumacher? It's right there in Berlin, in the temple and in the Museum of History in Berlin, along with the Ishtar Gate from Babylon, along with other spots and sites and temples and statues of paganism, right in the middle of Berlin. Our God doesn't join anybody else. He's above all and over all, and he's the only wise God. Praise God. And that great God is a God who wants to know us. Amen. We heard from Pastor already. And of course, at the beginning of the service, we heard from your worship team, amen, singing, "Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Your majesty, your glory, your wonder, the power of your redeeming plan." Amen. They knew exactly what I was going to be preaching, and they never talked to me, and I didn't know what they were going to be singing. Amen. And then Pastor made reference to Psalm 47. "Clap your hands, all ye people." Why do we clap? Because verse 2 tells us, "For the Lord Most High is terrible." terrible there doesn't mean terrible. It means he's awesome. He's fearful. Amen. For that Lord, that Yahweh Lord, amen, the Lord of the name is a great king over all the earth. And that's why we clap our hands. That's why we raise our hands. That's why we shout about. That's why we dance about. Because he's a great king and a great Lord, a king of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise God. Amen. David continues in Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. We used to sing it at Athens. I love that. In the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. And that city is not just a geographical location. It's a spiritual city. It's a spiritual place. And the great king says, come and be a resident. We've got rooms for all kinds of immigrants. We've got rooms for all kinds of Auslanders, they call them in Germany. Amen. There's room for many more. There's room at the table. Just come and dine. The master is calling because the great God is the God of a great nation. Amen. But that great God also has a great name. Is his name just God? I love it when people knock on your door and they come to you and they start by saying, do you know the name of God? And they're assuming that you've never gone to church and that you don't know the answer and that you're going to just say, duh, no. But when you reply to them, yes, I know the name of my great God, and his name is Jesus. And it fouls up their theology, and they don't know what to do because they haven't been expecting that. So our great God has revealed himself by a great name. Amen. Now, Moses had been raised in one of those polytheistic worlds of Egypt, amen, where they had the sun god like in Greece, and the sun god there was called Ra instead of Apollo. Okay? And Moses, as you know, is called of God through a burning bush, and he's already been perhaps rejected by his brethren once and didn't really know them very well. And he is called by God, and he's thinking, but I've got a problem. I've got a Jewish background, but my Hebrew is not as good as my Egyptian in language. And what if I go to the people, and what am I going to say to them? And if they asked me, what's the name of your God? Now, why was that important? Because the Egyptians had the Ra God, and the Beetle God, and the Nile River God, and all these gods and all these goddesses, you know, different gods for different times of the day, different goddesses for different months and different years. And if a woman is wanting to get pregnant, she goes to the fertility goddess, of course. And that's not a joke. That was true in many different religions. So Moses is saying, if the people ask me, what's your name? What do I say? And Moses says, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what shall his name? What shall I say? And God says to Moses, I am that I am. Which could also be translated, I will be what I will be. He's not your I am here. He's already your I will be when you get there. You need him today as a protector. You need him tomorrow as a comforter. You need him next month as a healer. You need him another time as a provider. Whatever you need God to be, you don't have to go to a different temple. You don't have to go to a different church. You don't have to come up with a different name for a different God or goddess. There's one God who's the great God, and he's got a wonderful name. He will be what you need him to be because he is the everlasting I am. In fact, if you ever begin to study, it's such an exciting study to become aware throughout the Bible, the many times and the many ways, amen, that God says, I am. Jesus uses that in the New Testament. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the light. Before Abraham was, I am. Praise God. What do you need him to be? He is, and he will meet your need and be with you. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord says, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So this great God, the El God, the Elohim, the uniplural term for God. Amen. The mighty God. See, there's some religions that accept him as the mighty God. But Jesus is also the almighty God. Well, how do we get from I am in the Old Testament to Jesus in the New Testament? Because Yahweh in the Old takes a spin and becomes Jehoshua or Joshua in the New, which in the Greek is O-Iesus. See, that's not too difficult to understand because my grandfather's name was Aristides Kousoudimos. Fortunately, my dad did not know to give me grandpa's name. My Greek grandpa had died, but before he died, he changed his name from Kousoudimos, which means crippled person, which is why I just had it's grandpa's bad genes that some of my kids have and my Greek cousins have. And he became Harry Demas, Ari Demas. And so I am a Demas, not a Kousoudimos. Same root, which means people in the Greek, the same root from which we get democracy, Democrats, and auto demonstrators, Demas. See it in the news classified? Amen. So if my grandpa could do that and we get along fine with just being Demases, amen, what do you think God can do? He spins on his name from Yahweh to Yahashua to Jesus, and no matter how you pronounce it in Greek or French or German, or Jesus, 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 Isa, amen, he's still one God. And that is a saving name. It's not just a ruling name, because when he becomes our Jehoshua, he is God, our Savior, the God who became our salvation. And so this great God, who is our Savior, our King, our Lord, has a great name, and his name today is revealed to us as Jesus, and there's no salvation in any other name. There's no salvation in any other person. There's none other name among heaven given whereby we must be saved. But as we heard as well today, it's unlikely that we could speak to the president. So if we can't speak to the governor, maybe, if we can't speak to the president, how are we going to speak to this great God who's far off? Well, he's good at figuring out our questions. He's good at figuring out problems. And that great God is a reasoning being. In the beginning was the word, the reason, the logos, the thinking, the creative force. And he creates us in his image. And so if you talk a lot, it's because God is a communicative being. He is not just up there in heaven sitting on a throne while the angels do all the work. He's thinking, he's reasoning, and he looks down at us, millions of miles, billions of miles away. And he wants to walk with us and talk with us and tell us that we are his own. He walks with me if I come to the garden alone. Praise God. So that great God has revealed himself through a book to speak to us and to communicate with us. He gives us one great book with 66 smaller books. In the Old Testament, he could speak to Adam and Eve as he did in the garden. He spoke and he walked with Enoch. He spoke to Abraham and led Abraham. He spoke to Moses through the fire. He was with Joseph in the prison. He was with Jeremiah in the jail. Amen. But then God takes this conversation and he puts it together in a book, a holy word for you and me and for all who would read the sacred pages of that book. Amen. It's got two testaments, one for the old and one for the new. 66 books, 39 authors, but one author, one book, one voice, one word for all mankind. And that's the beauty of missions, as they've seen and referenced to today. The word of God can reach us here in Caledonia, amen, Wisconsin. It can reach people in Pacific, in New Caledonia. It can reach people in a pueblo, in Puebla, Mexico, praise God. Significant, Brother Schumacher, I found out, at the very greatest, biggest cathedral, the first cathedral was built right in that city. What does that mean? That means Puebla is a spiritual strong stronghold, amen, there in that entire nation of Mexico, and a place where the gospel needs to be proclaimed to bring captivity captive and to reach out to a city as well as to a nation, praise God. And that will happen, and it'll work through the inspired, written, holy word of God. Amen. In fact, David in Psalm 119 gives us so many verses. Every verse, maybe except one in Psalm 119, refer to the word of God. So just briefly, what does David say there in Psalm 119? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. He says as well in that same chapter, the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You don't have to have a PhD in theology to understand the word of God. He just brings it down to our level and gives it to us simply, to just us plain common folks, praise God. David also says, great peace have they which love thy law. And we live in a world of confusion, disturbance, bother, fussing, and it's not getting better. Wars and rumors of wars and folks, even who can't even get along in the same groups here in America. We need peace. We're going to get it. Amen. Amen. From the Lord. We're going to get it from his word if we love his word. And this great God who communicates to us says, I want you to come and be part of my family. Well, Abraham was in the family of God. And then there was Isaac, and then there's Jacob, and there was Moses and Aaron and David and Solomon and all these great people of the Old Testament, and we put them on pedestals, and yes, we ought to respect them. Amen. The 12 apostles, we ought to respect them and thank God for them. But we sometimes think that they're up there and we're down here. No, God says there's plenty of room in the family. And I don't want to bring you in the family. I want to make you a great people. And so what God did for the Jews in the Old Testament was to take a bunch of slaves, didn't even have a union, and mold them together and put them together and make them a great nation. And he didn't do it without leadership. He didn't do it without organization. And he made sure that they understood the tabernacle in the middle of the people. That was the starting point for their identity as a nation and as a people of God. And God wanted to make them a great nation, which is a type of what he wants to do with the church. He doesn't want to just bring us in. Y'all come. Come if you want to. Come in at 10 o'clock or come at 10:30. Leave at 10:50. Just choose when you want to come. Choose how long you want to stay. No order. You know, you sing your song while I sing my song. And Aunt Susie, she's singing over there in key of F. Amen. And Uncle Bill's key and they're singing in the key of B flat. There's got to be order. There's got to be discipline. There's got to be understanding. There's got to be working together. Why? Because God wants us to be a great nation. Amen. Nobody goes to battle all by themselves. Amen. But they unite together. They're common in identity, common in purpose. Amen. Common in goal. Amen. Common in leadership. Common in submission. Praise God. And so God brings us into His people to be part of His nation, to be part of His family. But how do you get there? Because you could show the right identity card, because you could show the right passport. As we traveled through Europe, we had to show the right passport going from nation to nation. Amen. With open borders in Europe, which is now a problem, I told you so. Amen. They don't even show their passports anymore. And you just go wherever they want. No, we are. You're right. We're not just in the nation by view of passport, identity, or my grandpa was this and my great grandma was that. You got to be born into this family. This child today was born naturally, but that child is not yet born into the family of God. But with the training of parents and family and the nurture of the church and the pastoral ministry of this assembly, that child will come to the point that they believe what they've heard in Sunday school, believe what mom and dad have read in the simple word of God, believe what the pastor said, and the day will come that that child will come to Pastor Schumacher and says, I believe it. There's only one God. He's only got one name for today. I want to be baptized in that name. I want to be part of this church by being born again of water and the Spirit. That's how we become part of a holy nation. Amen. And again, it's because He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. It was a distinct plan in the Old Testament. It's very distinct in the New Testament. I feel so sorry for people who do not know the tabernacle plan in other churches. Because if they understood the tabernacle plan, they would realize God has a plan for us in the church today. And that great God with a great name, calling out a great people, has a great plan for our salvation. And it's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. It didn't get changed by God in 1056. It didn't get changed by God in 1449 or 1517 or 1620. Amen. Or 1840. When they decided to wait for God out on the hillside and the Lord was coming soon, God did not change His plan. One Lord and one faith and one baptism. That's what you saw in Spanish there at the church. He's still got a plan that involves knowing there's one great God and there's one plan of salvation and there's one doctrinal body of belief that is faith by which we come to the Lord. And God says, come. Revelation 3:20 is not the only place that He's knocking on the door. He's speaking to us. He's reaching out to us. And He doesn't say, come and serve me. Service will come later. But the family comes first. Service comes with responsibility, with maturity. But first He says, I'd like to sip with you. I'd like to communicate with you. Now, I don't know the president. I don't know the governor. Amen. I don't know the mayor of Milwaukee. But if all of a sudden I got a phone call, I'd like to meet you. Oh, I would put everything out of my schedule to make time for that esteemed natural leader. And they're just men. But the great God says, how'd you like to be part of my team? How'd you like to be part of my family? How'd you like to be part of a great nation? How'd you like to be part of a great church with a great promise and a great future and a great destiny? And He comes and He knocks on the door of your heart. When the worship was going place, maybe you didn't realize that's what was happening. But God was speaking to you through the worship. When the prayer was going forth, and even the prayer for this lovely little child, amen, God was touching some of you today, and maybe you didn't realize that was God knocking on the door of your heart. Amen. What do we attempt to do all the time when we preach the Word of God? We're attempting to reach somebody with the Word of God. They would knock on their heart because it came to their ears, and they saw the light, and they felt the touch in their heart, and God is saying, come and dine. Come to me. Praise God. Amen. So many of you have answered the call. That's why this congregation is here. Amen. With your strong leadership. Amen. But I want us to stand right now. And if you're feeling a touch of the Lord that's asking you to come to Him, come to the Savior, come to salvation, or maybe come to a new vision and a new destiny and a new opportunity to know Him better and to serve Him more. Amen. I want us to just reach out to the Lord at this time. Let's raise our hands in prayer, and you feel free to come to the altar and reach out to this great God of the universe who has become your Savior and my Savior. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are a soon coming King, and we want to be ready. We want to know your message. We want to know your people. We want to be part of that message. And oh God, the people that you're speaking to right today, we pray that they would open their hearts. They would open the door that you're knocking on, hallelujah, and they would come and have communication with you and dine with you and receive the spiritual bread that they need, receive the spiritual meat that they need, and Lord, that which is lacking on the inside, oh God, you want to fill it. Oh, that which they need, you want to take care of it, because you're that great God that can meet every need and take care of us in any situation. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We come to you, Lord. We come to you, Lord. We come to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.